Oh, my name is Jay Bernberg. I'm an attorney here in Tacoma. Been practicing here for about 20 years and been doing almost exclusively marijuana law for the last five.
Wow. Bernberg is a perfect name for this job, don't you think?
Yeah, it works.
I interview a doctor who researches drugs and alcohol. His name's Early Wine. So yeah. I figure it's kind of a cool thing.
Well, when New Yorker Magazine came out to interview me, they noted in their article that I spoke with a raspy ebullience and walked with a piratical swagger. I like that.
Wow, that's pretty good. Now, in your presentation, you talked a lot about the evolution of Washington State's marijuana laws, both in the medical and in the recreational side. Now, a lot of people are really upset over the past couple of years as far as the new laws, SB 5052 you brought up. But I thought it was very telling in your presentation that you didn't shy away from noting integrity issues and other things that led to these things. Sure. Give people kind of a thumbnail sketch of what you were telling us.
Well, first of all, when people came to me, they came to me because I'm a criminal lawyer. And our original dispensaries in Tacoma were being raided and people were being arrested. People came to me and asked, how do we do this without getting arrested, with me being a criminal lawyer, knowing what their concerns were. I didn't care about it. Budget and finance, you know, and city council. I'm more concerned about police and prosecutors. And so we structured it that way. But the first thing I told people is, if you don't want to get arrested, you need integrity. Medical has to be medical. You know, and if I'm going to say medical, start giggling when I say it, we've got a problem, you know. And so it's about integrity and medical being medical. But we've always had a problem in this regard. Some of it's real, some of it's perceived. I had a judge tell me, well, these are medical marijuana people, man. It's like, oh yeah, I got a haircut, now my hair hurts. All right, and this is what they think is happening. The legislature, one of the committees down there, says that more than 99% of medical marijuana is in fact recreational. Now, we know this isn't true. We know there's abuses, you know, we know that there's problems, but, you know, and our biggest problem has been ourselves, is because so many people do not want to follow any laws, and that's our history, that's our background, that's our culture. That's who we are. It's where we come from. You know, I'm radical. I started smoking weed in 72. You know, I come from all of that.
Sure.
And I get it and I understand it. But I'm also, as an officer of the court, looking at governments and courts and have a real inside knowledge about how this stuff works, because I've been doing it for 20 years. And I'm like going, whoa, look, man, you keep these worlds separate and you're okay. But when we start crossing them up, you're not going to win. And right now we're crossing them up with legalization of first medical marijuana and then recreational marijuana. These worlds are colliding. And interesting shit happens.
Well, you brought up how in the development of who's going to get which licenses, how people who, I guess here in the Tacoma area, followed the law and said, no, we're not a business. We're just a collective. We're not in this for transactions. Might be further behind than the people in Seattle who went ahead and said, oh, well, all right, we're a business. We'll pay sales tax. We'll pay licenses.
Well, yeah, that's going to be a real problem. You know, when we talk about the opposition to 502 from the medical perspective, and a lot of people said, oh, they're screaming and crying, it's the end of medical, it's the end of medical. Well, it depends on what you mean by that. You know, right now, if I'm a patient and I have cancer or debilitating medical condition and I want medicine, it's not tested. I have to trust the people I'm getting it from. Does it have insecticide on it? Is it a high CBD? Is it harlequin? Does it have mold? I don't know. But if I'm partying and I want to get high, I know everything about that from seed to sale. We biotrack it, man. I know when it went from veg to flower, you know? And we know everything about it. So when we take our medical marijuana and we put it into this system where we're tracking it, testing it, quality control, ultimately that could be better for the patients if it's done right. Where people are bitching is that over the last, since 1998, an economy has grown up around medical marijuana as it currently exists. Multi-million dollars, thousands of people participating in it. You know, many of them are patients who are on SSI, disability. The supplements are income by working with other patients and participating in this economy. And with 502 in this blending, the state has just effectively taken that away. And so a lot of people are, when it says the end of medical marijuana, what they're talking about is the culture and the economy that's grown up around it. Yes, that's going to go away. Medical marijuana access for patients, no, it's not going to go away. It's going to actually be better. And pricing is going to be similar in spite of people's fears. The real issue for me right now is I have so many clients who participate in this other market. Are they going to be able to move into the new licensed market and continue to help patients and continue to help themselves doing what they've been doing?
Right.
how exclusive versus inclusive is this going to be? And I think it's going to be fairly exclusive, and I'm frankly, I'm scared for my clients.
And a lot of this, you know, there's been talk about how 502, when it first came out, was all lottery-based, and you were telling they had no expectation of 7,000 applications. I mean, what are some of the bureaucratic and political hurdles we need to clear?
Well, let's start with the first ones. It's something I don't think people think about too much, and I talked about it yesterday. And I call it social and cultural isolation. You know, I started smoking weed in 72, and I'm almost 60 years old now. And everybody I know in my life smoked weed or does smoke weed or has smoked weed. And I meet once in a while, I meet somebody who says that they didn't smoke, and I'm like shocked. I'm like, where the fuck have you been? You know, how did that happen? But we have to remember that in government, these people are also culturally and socially isolated. And when they meet somebody who admits to smoking weed, they know lots of people who do, they just don't know it. When they meet somebody who actually admits it, they're shocked.
Yeah.
You smoke marijuana? My God. You know, and they're freaked out by it. And so the first is this complete lack of communication. So people in government and liquor cannabis board, I mean liquor control board formerly, who are getting these applications, they don't think there's that many people that smoke marijuana are gonna be interested in this. It's, you know, just the culture, fringe culture, right? They have a 30-day window for applications and get 7,000 applications and freak the fuck out. They still got files they haven't opened yet. You know, and wow. And when they looked at the lottery, the retail licenses, they did it by demographics. And so Seattle would get 21, Tacoma was allocated 8, Pierce County at large 17. And if they had more applications, qualified applications, than licenses, they had a lottery. Right. And so, you know, it was just luck of the draw. And if, funny kind of aside on that, I have a building, I have a commercial place. So I applied for a retail license in Tacoma. There were 41 applications for 8 licenses. I came in 11th. I needed 3 failures in front of me to get into the 8th spot. There were 2 failures. I got stuck at 9. So now I got people at the back of the list making deals with people in the front of the list, joining forces and doing contracts, and they're coming to me as a lawyer wanting me to do their contracts. I started out the meeting going, I says, you do understand it is in my best interest for you to fail, right?
Right.
And they go, yeah, but we trust you.
Oh, wow.
It was great. It was really interesting. But so this time around, you know, I mean, they don't want that problem again. They did not staff up for it. They didn't gear up for it. They didn't have near the people to deal with it because they didn't see it coming because of their isolation. And so this time around, they're going to try and avoid that problem.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm afraid for my clients, is they're going to make this an exclusive process, not an inclusive process. And that's going to severely limit people's opportunities. The legislation is clear. Everybody's supposed to have an opportunity to demonstrate their ability to do this, and it's supposed to be on a merit-based system. But if they make the application process entirely exclusive, they defeat the purpose of the legislation.
Sure, sure.
And they also harm a lot of people.
You know, there's a certain amount of cognitive dissonance with this legislature. Aren't these the same people that were complaining, oh my God, there's so many medical marijuana dispensaries, like 300 in Seattle or whatever. It's like, okay, so doesn't that show you there's an extreme demand for this? Why are you going to limit Seattle to 15 rec shops?
Right, well, Seattle, they had 21 rec shops, but they've only got like 5 open, and that's because of the 1,000-foot rule. There's no place in Seattle that's 1,000 feet from one of these just sensitive areas. They're worried about secondary impacts. I don't know what a secondary impact is, and nobody's actually really told me. And if they did tell me, I don't think they've actually proved that it actually exists. In fact, our experience shows us that there are no secondary impacts. It's good for the neighborhood, but so Seattle's limited anyway,
yeah.
You know? And again, I spoke at the Seattle, the Tacoma City Council, and they were complaining that we had 50 places. I said, it's actually much more than that. I says, but you know why we have them? The market supports them.
Right.
I said, you don't see that many barbershops, do you?
No.
Yeah, no. The market won't support it. You don't see that many banks, market won't support it. I said, you guys need to pay attention. This
right.
is extremely popular,
yeah.
You know? And there is a demand for it, and there's a need for it.
Right.
And that message was well received by the city of Tacoma. Seattle's its own little world, and you know, they just did what they when we our legislature tried to put out a regulatory scheme for medical marijuana
right.
back in 2011. At the same time, Colorado did.
Right.
Colorado went forward; it was great. And when recreational came down, they just had to tweak the system they had in place. Our governor vetoed it,
right.
And we had absolutely no rules. Seattle goes, well, we don't care what the governor did. You want to be a dispensary, be a dispensary. We'll license you. Satterberg, the prosecutor, says, if you're a nonprofit and you do this and this and this and this, we won't prosecute you. And so this whole economy grew up in Seattle, has absolutely nothing to do with state law. Local law, local politics, local custom. And his whole thing grew up all on its own. The rest of the state, we're out here trying to follow state law, right? it's neurotic as hell. You know, and then so we've got all these businesses opening up. In Tacoma, here's a good example. On 6th Avenue, I've got 3 medical marijuana licenses. In between those 3 are 2 502 retail stores. So we've got 5 marijuana shops in an area of about 3 blocks.
Wow.
The merchants in the area, it's an area that they're gentrifying and they're bringing in fancy restaurants and shops. Well, the merchants all of a sudden start complaining to the city council going, hey, what the fuck? You know, what's going on down here? You know, this is changing our demographic. It's changing the parking. We got all these people down here buying marijuana and our customers aren't here anymore. And so, and you wouldn't put 6 donut shops down here. Do some zoning, yeah. Right? And then the 2 502 stores are going, hey, we have to charge $15 a gram. We're paying taxes. We got these huge investments. And we got these fly-by-night, unlicensed, untaxed places selling marijuana for $10 a gram. And you're letting them do it. This is fucked up. You got to stop it. So then the city council responds, right? And we ended up in a whole big battle there. You know, by the way, all my clients are still open, but we've done fairly well.
Wow, this is some amazing stuff. Thank you so much for talking to us.
And if
people want to get in touch with you or find you on the web, how can they do that?
Well, I've got a webpage. It's notguilty_Tacoma. Or to just Google my name, Jay Bernburg, B-E-R-N-E-B-U-R-G. I got a web page. If you Google me, you'll get 200 hits. You know, I've been fairly visible. And my phone number is 253-572-1500. Give us a call. If you're calling from jail, call collect. We're cool.
Right on. Thank you so much, Jay.
All right, man. Thank you.